Today, we're talking with Jennifer Bagley. Jennifer is a world-class speaker, sales trainer, and business strategist for the home service industry, i.e. HVAC and plumbing. She helps her clients secure more eyeballs on their offers than their local competitors. I am your host, Zachary Alexander, subscription service designer at subscriptionmaker.net. Please hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts so that you won't miss any new episodes. The reason we are talking with Jennifer is because she knows what it takes to benefit fully from a niche strategy. There are a lot of so-called gurus pushing all sorts of niche strategies. However, most of them are long on platitudes and short on practicality. Jennifer, on the other hand, delivers the goods. Jennifer, welcome to the Subscription Maker Podcast.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you having me.
Please tell us a little bit about your company, CI Web Group.
Absolutely. So we started CI Web Group in 2006. And I know we're going to get into kind of how. It was a kind of a fluke on how the business was created. It was created out of a pivot, go figure. But it's essentially an agency of entrepreneurial misfits that I believe have came together to truly make a difference in those businesses who are trying to figure out the complexities of the digital marketing space, how to get in front of customers. We've got over 100 full-time resources that are experts or in various different disciplines across the digital marketing metasphere. And we operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in 8 different countries. So we've got a really strong crew that's been together for a lot of years and just kind of gels together to deliver exceptional service and results to our customers.
So when did you guys get together? When did you start it?
So in 2006, prior to that, I owned a real estate company with and a mortgage company. And this was in the crash. This is when the entire industry flipped upside down. Subprime lending took a dip. Banks closed. And I had to really figure it out. We had 200 customers plus that had closed on houses and couldn't fund because the banks closed. I literally had people with cats and hamsters sitting in our offices trying to get their keys for their new home. They already moved out of their old home. So the first pivot was essentially looking at our business in 3 different slices, the real estate business, the mortgage business, and what was my little petri dish of a marketing team that was geared towards helping real estate agents and our loan officers generate new business, increase referral business, stay in front of customers for the long haul because real estate purchases don't happen as frequently. So we really built an incredible marketing business unit within that company. And when stuff hit the fan, we flipped it, turned it on, and all of a sudden that became CI Web Group. And it was, you know, a group of people. It wasn't a thought to create a digital marketing business. It was just a department within my company that was really good. So that's kind of how it was created. Technically, it was an accident.
So what kind of services does CI Web Group offer?
So my background is in supply chain management prior to all of this in my corporate environment. So when it comes to CI Web Group and how we built our services, we built a systematic program for delivering results in more of a predictable manner. It's called the 12-step roadmap to achieve accelerated results. It's all about doing the right things in the right order. So starting with understanding your brand, then understanding what infrastructure from a technology standpoint do you need. Making those technology decisions way up front so you don't wind up with discombobulated pieces of technology that don't communicate, they're not interoperable, they don't work together. So step one is technology and brand and a website, making sure you do it right from the beginning, avoiding the triple Fs, no friends, no families, no fools, staying away from the DIY version, just doing it right from the beginning. Then as you move through the different steps, you should have a sound infrastructure. Move into step 2, which is content. Content is essentially your voice. You're producing content right now. I love what you're doing. You create podcasts, webinars, text on the page, video assets, graphical assets, infographics. We've got to come up with our voice in a digital format so it can work while we do something else, preferably vacation somewhere and not have to work so hard. So second is content. Third is conversion systems, understanding that consumers truly convert different ways. And it's almost as picky about how they like to convert, like a religion or politics. When you talk to somebody about whether they like to text or whether they like to call, you get some serious differences. Those people who believe a phone call or a face-to-face meeting is all that can happen, whereas those who are on the more technical side, they prefer to text or chat. And the ladies who are juggling 900 things, they rather have an AI chatbot on 5 different sites and be able to knock out their entire mom to-do list and their business to-do list in the same hour. So that's conversion systems. At that point, you've got a structured business when you have those things together. Now it's time to turn on the marketing part of the business. So that's your local marketing, social marketing, reviews, search engine optimizations, paid advertising. Then you get into loyalty programs. How do you keep your customers basically corralled? How do you keep them off Google? So, things as simple as all of our customers, they get a birthday card and a birthday cake in the mail every single year, as will you for doing this awesome podcast. I'm going to send you a link and you're going to sign up and you're going to get cake forever. So those kind of things, as well as using mobile apps to create tools that put you in their pocket and keep them off of Google. So that 12-step roadmap, really, when you do the right things in the right order at the right time, you get amazing results. When you hodgepodge things together and you're throwing things at the wall or not understanding the dependencies of each one of those items, if you have a great website and horrible content, there's plenty of SEO companies that'll take your money and never get you ranked because you can't rank without content. If you've got a great website, you're on page one of Google, but you've got horrible reviews or your conversion tools are not in place, you can't convert. So you're burning cash in your backyard instead of spending it on something that's going to make you any money. If you've got a great website, you're on page one of Google, you've got great conversion tools, but the last time you posted on your social media sites was 2014, well, you wouldn't have called me for this podcast because you would have thought I was sleeping, taking a nap or long vacation or extended clothes. So understanding each one of those interdependencies is so important to be able to truly and effectively build a business and to not get discouraged, because building a business is hard. And when you do things out of order or you don't have the right infrastructure in place, you're going to get frustrated. You're going to say things that actually work don't work. It's not that they don't work. It's that you didn't implement in the right order. You don't have the right infrastructure. Or things aren't connected properly. So I should breathe now and let you ask your next question.
No problem. I know exactly where you're coming from. Now, you talked a little bit about loyalty. Do you ever deal with subscription services?
100%. MRR is the name of the game. I wake up in the morning, I know my MRR any day. I know my MRE every single day. What's your monthly recurring income? What's your monthly recurring expenses? And what's the margin? What's the difference?
What's your cost of customer acquisition?
Yeah, that's MRR minus MRE, and you know whether you're sitting pretty or not. So we try and help companies, and I know this so well because owning a real estate company, you know what it's like to make huge commissions on one-time sales and then go down to nothing every time your pipeline dries up or every time the weather changes or every time there's an economic downturn. Right? No business should function without a strong platform for large, medium, and small recurring subscriptions and large, medium, and small one-time solutions so that you can ebb and flow, manage cash flow, turn on, turn up, turn down, and turn off promotions based on the resources you have available. You might need it to be able to invest in a new expense and so forth. So when you go to market, if you don't have a strong strategy for those six options, you're really going to be in a world of hurt, and you won't know it until you already went there and you wish that you listened to the podcast and did something different, right? New business model.
How do you compete with larger, more established companies?
Number one is we made a decision, and it was a hard one. This was one of those entrepreneurial moments where you sit down and have a coming to Jesus meeting with yourself and say, do I give up all my attorneys and my doctors and my medical contracts and my athletes and all of these other businesses? And do we dedicate ourselves to a niche? And in our world, we dedicated ourselves to a niche that's really rather unsexy, but
the best ones are.
I love them. I love the home services industry. We went through a pandemic, and guess what? The sun's still rising. It's still going to get hot. Plumbing still needs to work. Air conditioning still needs to work. Electrical still needs to work. And these guys are so down to earth and really want to just do a great job. It's just an incredible industry. So number one is choosing a niche and allowing our team to become extreme subject matter experts about another industry, about another person's business, instead of them having to ebb and flow in between 500 different kinds of companies that we had previously before we chose to niche. The second one is while we have a larger business now, we're still and will always be dedicated to a personal connection with each one of our clients, providing service that's exceptional above and beyond. If we say we're going to give two, we're going to give four. If we say that we're going to answer, we're going to answer at midnight. I mean, our team is really dedicated to connecting with them on a more personal level. We connect with them in social media. We learn what's happening in their world, from anniversaries to buying a new truck. We congratulate them on their own business growth. We just try and maintain a personal connection with each one of our clients and not run them through a pipeline like some of our bigger competitors.
Just an aside, I ask that question a lot, and almost no one says they niche down. They never talk about the niche that they're in. You know, they've got all kinds of answers, but it's never about the niche. Why do you think that's so?
You know, sometimes people are too big for their britches, man. You know, just they need to focus. You've got to become an expert at something, and bigger's not always better. Just look at it from a digital standpoint. If I try and get found for search engine optimization online, I'm probably dealing with a trillion competitive pages. But if I look for HVAC SEO, now I'm down to 30 million. And if I look for HVAC SEO in Houston, Texas, now I only have 4 million competitors. So every search term you look for online gives you your competitive page kind of network that you have to compete with. In order for any business to do well, you need to be in the top 10 of whatever search that a consumer is looking for. So what do you want to sell? Where do you want to sell it? What are they searching for? Are you an option on page one of Google? The answer is either yes or no. And when you try and go after everything, you get nothing. It takes too long, too much effort, too many resources to try and earn a dollar, unless you can narrow it down, focus on a smaller piece of the pie, be exceptional at that, create some cash, reinvest it, and then do it again. And keep doing that until you can become an industry expert, a pillar in a specific industry. I would rather be a pillar in one industry than invisible in all.
What does it mean? I mean, let's shift gears just a little bit. What does it mean to be a serial entrepreneur?
Ooh, so that the answer to that is going to depend on what part of my life cycle. So I could go back 10 years from now when I was a single mom and I gave up everything, and my son and I lived in an office and we showered at 24-hour fitness to build this business. So I could take you back to the nitty-gritty where I think I slept 2 hours a day, and my son now in his 20s can tell you stories about his mom as a serial entrepreneur, and his version is going to be very different. I will tell you this, that it is an undying commitment to something that doesn't waver no matter how hard it gets, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how many people tell you you can't, or how many people tell you it would be easier if you got a job. Or I made six figures by the time I was 26 in corporate America, but my goal was to leave. And I did, with a two-year-old in the middle of a giant state of Texas with no friends and no family because I was relocated for corporate. And, you know, I had a million moments, whether it was learning how to deal with federal taxes, or learning how to deal with all my 1099s at the moment when you're young and dumb and you bring on a bunch of people for 1099 and then learn the penalties later, or when you're not cash flowing properly. And every one of those lessons, it's just that, you know, what ideally as a serial entrepreneur, if you could be better upfront about choosing mentors. And I was really, really blessed to have Tony Jerry. He's a coach to the top 500 CEOs in the world, an incredible mentor who really let me have it and gave me some good tail whippings along the way. And you got to take those tail whippings and not always have to learn the hard way. You've got to be really good about finding good mentors, strong mentors, and not needing to just simply take the tail up. And you've got to find someone that's been further. You know, don't ask your broke Uncle Harry about money. Don't ask your divorced three times Aunt Betty about marriage. Find mentors who have been much further than you want to be. Do whatever you need to do to get in your good graces, which means put your pride in your back pocket for a minute. Be quiet, ask good questions, and listen. But I mean, as an entrepreneur, that's it. Now, everything for me, I geared my entire entrepreneurial livelihood around one mission. And that was something that he required I come up with, is my why. And mine was simple. I have no freaking idea, but I know I want the freedom to choose when I get there. And so my whole life and entrepreneurial journey has been to create the ability to choose, which means freedom, meaning not bound to a state. I'm not bound to a city. I'm not bound to a house. I'm not bound to have to work today. I chose to do this podcast because this is fun. I'm excited about this. But after putting in the level of effort that's been needed, the business was built to sustain itself, not based on my personal name or my personal brand. It was based on a team of people doing exceptional work because I love to vacation. I don't want to be tied down to a company. So 6 months vacation, that's where I want to be. It's not about working that hard. It's about being incredibly smart, effective, and efficient, using technology well.
Okay. Now I got to ask something that's off topic.
Shoot.
Do you want your son to follow in your footsteps?
He works for the company. So he works for the company. His girlfriend works for the company. His best friend works for the company. And they all do something a little bit different. They've been surrounded, listening in the hallways to, you know, in the living room to every conversation. So he's in the content team. And his girlfriend, Liz, she's on the web team. And Alula, which is his best friend, he's on the SEO team. Each one of their personalities was able to pick something that's more analytical. Terrell likes to work in a cave. Liz likes to chit chat with accounts. So with clients, they all are, you know, it's up to them. They've been able to ebb and flow throughout the business. And they definitely, if you talk to them, they're in their early 20s, 21, 22, and 23. And they've already got five figures in savings. They've been investing in Robinhood since it launched. They started in cryptocurrency. They've paid cash for their Tesla. I mean, we've raised some incredible children because of the business. Because of an intentional kind of creation of their mind. They think about mindset management. They think about being positive. They know what it's like to struggle, and they know what it's like to overcome, and they're dedicated to the process. So it's up to them. They can have this. I'm ready to chill out.
Okay. So the reason I ask that is a lot of times we hear about how, immigrants are great at entrepreneurship and how, you know, the last generation is not as good as this one. And I just like to ask people, you know, how do you pass your entrepreneurial prowess onto the next generation? You know, what's that process like? Or have you tried to pass that on to the next generation?
Yeah, we actually have an entire program and department called Next Gen. It's with intent. There's nothing circumstantial or haphazard. So the Next Gen team is the team of our staff's children who have started anywhere from 16 to 18 who are now running departments. So my VP of customer service, Kathy Marshall, her daughter, Kimberly Marshall, started with us when she was 18 and now is head of the entire marketing department and killing it. She's a beast. She's outstanding. So we have successfully transitioned, and you know, she's in her mid-20s. She's making incredibly good money. She's a single mom with twins, and she can afford what most parents can't. I mean, I'm just really proud of them, but it's not an accident. It's with intent for sure.
Okay. Back to the topic at hand. Have you ever had to pivot your company? The new one, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it was a pivot when we created the digital marketing agency as a standalone entity. It was a pivot when we had a consulting company. I was trading time for money, and I decided I'm done. I eliminated $60,000 a month from my personal income with my consulting industry because I felt myself losing the very thing that I sought out to get. And I just stopped it. I was sales supply chain consulting. I almost said .com like it exists. Choosing to eliminate all clients, the majority of our clients, we only kept 15 customers from our previous life that were our favorites. When we decided to niche in the home services industry, we had to help our customers pivot February 27th of this year. And that has been one of the biggest pivots, I think, because we're in the moment. But you're taking an entire industry. So no, it's no longer about us. But we were the first agency to step to the table with the manufacturers and the distributors and to bring a program called How to Work from Anywhere and another program called Thriving in the New Normal. We brought it to the industry to try and get our customer base, and not even just our customer base, but all contractors, to not have a panic attack when businesses got shut down, when they weren't sure if they were going to be marked as essential, when they don't know how to open a Zoom meeting or provide virtual service or sell it from an e-commerce system. You know, in this industry, 2 years ago, everything I recommended to everybody who's a native manufacturer, distributor, or dealer in the home services world, they thought I was crazy. You know, no HVAC company is going to sell HVAC equipment off the internet. You're nuts. You don't understand, Jennifer. They can't do virtual service. You don't understand. No one's going to troubleshoot their system on a Zoom call. Everyone thought I was nuts. Well, February 27th, I think things have turned around a little bit. We now have dealers implementing e-commerce systems, doing Zoom meetings. I have contractors that are sitting in their home now doing 5 and 6 sales presentations per day without ever leaving. They're not getting in their truck with their clipboard and their iPad and sitting in a consumer's home. They're actually functioning in and thriving in this new normal. And I am so proud of them. So yes, pivot's the name of the game.
What's the pivot process like for you?
Ooh, well, I don't know if this is good advice for everyone, but I tend to have really strong intuition, and every pivot has been a very sharp decision, bringing the team together, telling them what the idea is. I think over the years, our team has seen when I make a big move like that, that 99 out of 100 times, it's the right move. So we get adoption extremely quick from our entire team. I got to get them behind it. And then it's execution. So, you know, we handpick each of the resources on our team that's designed to create different assets, to whether it's building content or landing pages or new products and services or media content or creating new webinar events or selling a new educational program in order to be able to execute the pivot. But it happens rather quick. We're not real slow. For example, right now, I had a manufacturer that said, why don't you guys make virtual conference websites so we can do these virtual dealer meetings? It doesn't take me more than 5 minutes to go, we should do that. And we built it in the last 3 days. So I'm going to launch it next week, and I've already got 3 clients that are going to subscribe to it for their dealer meetings. So, you know, we weren't selling anything to the distributors. They were just a referral source for us. So it's just listening and being completely open and aware of those doors, those opportunities, those moments, those light bulbs, because they come from everywhere. They come from listening to the news and paying attention to an audience. They come from listening to your customers and they'll show you the way. It comes from partners. I mean, they come all the time, these windows of light, and you have to open that door, decide quickly, and then make the move if you're up to it. And then once you do, commit with everything you have, make it happen.
Besides your team, who are the people you talk to about pivots?
Well, I used to spend, I used to have three primary sets of mentors, and I think I've grown, like now I think we're friends and we talk more than we brainstorm. So Tony Jerry is one. He wrote the book called Strategic Acceleration, Coach the Top 500 CEOs. Another group is a gentleman named Lars and Andre. They're from South Africa. They live in Dallas area, and they own a company called The Capacity Company, and it was understanding your capacity and then truly understanding how to modify your capacity so you don't remain the same human from the inside out, but you can evolve, intentionally evolve. And and I studied mindset management with them, which was, I think, wildly important to success, the ability to control how you deal with every situation. And the third one was an NLP expert, Jim Fortin. And everything was about neuro-linguistics programming and understanding how the brain works, understanding the reticular activator, understanding how to connect and persuade and influence just through words and through language and intent. So you don't, you know, self-doubt, you don't talk yourself out of things. I was just coaching another sales professional the other day, and at some point, if you don't invest in you, if you don't fix your own mindset, if you don't control how you react to every situation and have an intent behind what you do, then you're just operating like 99% of the entrepreneurs that are out there blindfolded, walking around, having no clue what their path is. They're just functioning. And those guys helped, I mean, tremendously. But I learned more about mindset management than anything else. Now I think my primary coach is my attorney, my tax consultant, and my bookkeeper. That's where I spend the majority of time getting coaching from now, is how to avoid paying a tremendous amount of taxes.
What's the best advice you ever received about pivoting?
I think it's just to commit, it's, do your homework and commit. But when I said do your homework, we still go back to, you got to have mentors that don't say yes to everything. You have to be willing to take the hard truth. I probably have 60 people come to me with business ideas on a monthly basis. And the reality is, maybe one or two of them are decent. The rest of them were bound to fail at hello. So you got to be really careful you got to think through, can it be outsourced? Can it be automated? Can a piece of technology do what you're trying to do? Can it be shipped overseas and it make more sense for someone overseas to provide that product or service? You know, if you walk down a shopping mall in today's environment, if you find the majority of shopping malls are closed, right? But if you find a shopping mall that's actually got packed parking lots and it's not Black Friday or on a Christmas shopping day or so forth, you're going to notice that the mall is different. If you walk down the street in Manhattan, the streets are different. It's not filled with the hardware store and some guy selling products. It's filled with services. It's like fish eating or flesh eating fish massage parlors where they're biting your skin off your toes. And then next is some crazy massage place. Then you got the VR place. And then you got the, sit in a Tesla place. And then you got the Bose speaker place and the Sonos place. It's all, it's different and it's evolving. And we have to pay attention to that. Right now, everyone's so stuck in our roots of what they think America should be from a products and services standpoint. Man, evolve. Evolve right now. Evolve very quickly. If it makes more sense to have something created overseas, then find something you can do that is an amazing service, and a unique service, an incredible experience, or technology-based. How can you make people's lives easier from leveraging technology? I mean, that's where America's headed. And, you know, if you can make crazy food, like the pasta in a bubble or something weird, do something that is innovative and stop being stuck on the past. I think that's the biggest thing about pivoting is you've got to think to the future, and the America you think this should stay doesn't mean the one it doesn't mean that's what it's going to do. Evolve. Okay.
Along the same lines of evolution, when do you know when to pivot versus when to start a new business?
I am an ADD entrepreneur who has to control my urges to start new companies. And I've been working on it for many years. I'm trying very hard. So just rearrange your house or paint the wall or something. Do something to get the urge out. Stop creating business after business after business. Pick something that has a brand that can connect with people and build products within that brand. But the whole buying domain name after domain name, starting new business after new business, my God, you're diversifying your money. You're diluting. I shouldn't even say diversifying. You're diluting your money, diluting your time, diluting your energy. A divided heart will never be successful. So be very careful that you understand a pivot is within your existing brand. But watch out for the entrepreneurial ADD. I'm going to keep launching new businesses and new brands. Keep it within your core company. Launch a product and test it. But don't keep opening companies. It's a disaster. I've seen that be a massive failure. And if you don't protect your brand, remember, your brand is not a logo and a color scheme. Your brand is a feeling. It's a thought. It's a conversation that happens at a bar while you're not there about you. That's your brand. How do people talk about you when you're not there, when you don't exist? So if you don't take care of your brand, if you're not intentional about creating an experience and a feeling with the people you serve, you're going to have to create a new company, because once the brand is destroyed from a digital standpoint, you're done. So if you like opening companies, don't take care of your brand, because it'll make it an easy way to keep opening new ones and rebranding. And there's a lot of companies that function that way. Even in my own industry, I know a lot of marketing agencies that keep coming out with a new name because they destroyed the brand before it. So
I've heard you talk about storefronts and how most entrepreneurs work from storefronts that should be condemned if they were in the physical world. Would you elaborate on that?
Yes, everybody goes to the internet and visits a website, and you get a feeling when you get there. Now, you have to take this one. If you built it yourself, you have a personal attachment. It's kind of like, this is going to sound horrible, I don't know a better way, but it's like birthing an ugly baby. Just because you made it, it's still, if it looks bad, it looks bad. We got to address that. We've got to make sure that, I mean, your website technically is your storefront. You know, you don't want to walk in a store that's, you know, looks like you constructed it with toothpicks on a fifth grade class project. You don't want it to look like a DIY project. Remember, in business, walk 5 steps ahead, you'll get there faster. So if you want to be a big business, act like it. If you want to have a strong customer base, then put the systems in place to support a strong customer base. If you want to have excellent service, then put the systems in place to have excellent customer service. You want to have a strong sales team, then put massive contents out there so that you can convince people to work with you without having to have your sales team work so hard. You know, do what big businesses do. If you search online for whatever you want to sell, I don't care what it is. If you want to sell real estate in Seattle, houseboats in Seattle, if you search for houseboats in Seattle on the page one of Google, you're going to find my mom's website. She has a good marketing company, by the way. So if you, whoever's sitting on page one of Google, you have to be better than them in all aspects. You have to have a site that's better designed. You have to have more conversion tools. You've got to have better content. You have to have more pages. You have to have more video, have to have more graphics, right? Be better than whoever you're trying to beat, or at least work towards being close to them, or drop out, because that's what it takes. It's the beautiful part about the majority of business is it's not based on perception. It's mathematical. And I love math because I can win a math game. If you tell me that if I want to be on page one of Google and the guy or the lady who's holding page one, position one right now has a web page with 460 pages and 3,000 blog posts and 3,500 backlinks, and they offer the ability to chat online, and they offer 24-hour texting, and they have an AI chatbot, and they offer pricing online, and they offer the ability to subscribe via a quick link. If they offer all those things and I want to be that, I got to be there. I have to do that. So that's what I mean about your storefront is someone's already doing what you want to do. You got to pull it together and get there.
Would you talk a little bit more about what it means, what you mean when you say conversion tools?
Absolutely. So text, call, subscribe, chat, chat bot, you sign up, you join, buy. All of these different elements are ways to get people to take action. The problem is the majority of websites you go look at, everyone's soft. They say, learn more. No. No one does anything with learn more. They do stuff like get them to do something. What do you want them to do? Do you want them to sign up? Are you trying to build your list? Do you want them to subscribe? Are you trying to build your monthly recurring revenue? Are you offering a promotion for them to buy right now? Do you want them to download an ebook so you have a lead form? Do you want them to schedule a strategy session? Do you want them to request a quote? Do you want them to get a quote online? Do you want them to shop? I mean, come up with a plan of action to get people to take action instead of this passive, just text-based learn more that doesn't drive anybody to do anything. Those businesses don't make money. We've got to get people to take action. And so you've got to have an incredibly good conversion strategy. And the reality with conversion strategy is you got less than a second to get somebody to make a decision if they even want to consider taking action with you. So if you lose them at hello because the website looks like an ugly baby, we have a problem, right? If you've got to fix those things quickly, make sure that they feel comfortable in that space and that it's very clear. Conversions can be tested. So if you've got a strong SEO team, they'll implement Google Tag Manager and they can do A/B conversion testing to be able to determine, does a red button work or does a blue button work? Should the font size be a 14 or should it be a 18? Should it be on a white background? Do I need more white space around it? Should it be on the right side, top right corner where the majority of conversions click, or am I getting better, traction inside of a slider? What happens when I build promotions that are inside sliders that rotate all the time? You can install a heat map, install Google Tag Manager, utilize Google Data Studio, and you can identify to the nth degree who comes to your site, how long they stay there, are they interested, do they bounce, do they click, what's your conversion rate, what's your cost per conversion, and you can make these decisions if you study the data. But if you ignore the reports because they look complicated or you don't know what the acronyms are, it's really hard to make progress. So study the acronyms, get a killer team this is what I love about our team. They love working with people who want to learn. They love it when somebody says, what is a CTR? That's your click-through rate. Or what's bounce rate mean? They came to the site. They didn't find what they were looking for. Something drug in there. They left. They're out of there. Well, how do I meet them? Well, you can do a retargeting program and you can, identify that they came to the page for new AC installation. They stood there for 1 minute and we can hit them with a postcard at home. How can you do that? Because we can track their residence, GPS triangulation, and we can send a first class postcard with a promotion to their house to try and re-engage them. And there's plenty of things we can do. Keep asking questions as an entrepreneur. Keep asking, how do you do that? Well, is it? It's complicated, but don't be scared of the technology.
Now, you've talked a little bit about Google and the benefits of using Google's analytical tools. Could you talk a little bit about local SEO and why that's so important for entrepreneurs?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone who's listening to this, go to your computer and I want you to Google for, so not on your phone, but Google for a service you want to sell and hit enter. In the top left hand, right above the paid ads or above the search, there's going to be number. It's going to say 10 of blank. So when you are trying to get bound for a service with no geo target, the number of competitive pages can be in the billions and or trillions, which means you need to be in the top 10 of blank billion or trillion other pages. Now, add a city, add a metropolitan area. So now put your product or service, doesn't matter what it is, if it's medical supplies, if it's coaching, if it's real estate, any service, put it in there. And now put the word Seattle or Houston or Denver or Fort Lauderdale. Pick a major metropolitan area, one of the top MSAs, and put that in there. Watch the number of pages change. Watch it drop. So now you're going to be in the millions instead of the billions or trillions. Now I want you to move out of the city. What you're thinking is, lots of opportunity, bigger city, there's more people that buy. Yes, also equals more competition. So move out of the city a little bit. If you're inside of Houston, search for Cypress. If you're inside of Dallas, search for Plano. If you're inside of Seattle, search for Everett or Marysville or Linwood. If you're outside of Fort Lauderdale, go to Vero Beach. You know, pick a city that's outside of the major metropolitan area. What you're looking for is you want the lowest number of competitive pages on that search, and every one of you have access to this, with the highest volume of monthly searches. That's the sweet spot you can make money at. That's local SEO. It's narrowing it down to a service you want to sell or a product you want to sell in a city you want to sell it that has the lowest competition with the highest monthly searches. When you get this down, if you create a content strategy around that service and local search term, and you create a promotion strategy and a link building strategy, and you focus on one thing, just focus on one. Stop going after 300 search terms. Pick one, make it profitable, then do it again. Then do it again. What we need is, we don't need a website. We need a tool that when marketed properly makes you money. That's the sole purpose of a website. So that's what local SEO is. It's the ability to identify and have a more predictable strategy to bring in cash flow. If I can find something that I can get ranked on page one of Google, the beauty is if you put 10,000 people in an audience and give me a mic and I say, what do you guys do if you need some? The entire audience is going to say, Google it. It's that easy to market your business. Get good at Google and then nail customer service and referral generation. We call it loyalty experience management.
Okay, now for the $64,000 question. You ready?
Yeah.
What should entrepreneurs like subscription makers be doing now to prepare for the success post-lockdown?
Get your digital stuff straight. Like, get it together. You gotta have a strong little digital business. Sit down in a chair. Get a good web company. We'd love to help you. Get a good web company that builds you a strong website and an integrated blog. So use content management system, preferably WordPress. All small businesses can use WordPress. It's the largest content management system in the world. We predicted it when we came out. We picked the right one. That's number one. Two, buckle down and start creating content. You, my friend, are doing exactly what everyone else needs to do. They need to stop having one-on-one sales appointment and sitting in what I call the rocking chair syndrome. Busy being busy, never going anywhere. If you have time to get on a call and repeat yourself 600 times a day, answering the same questions every single day, stop doing sales appointments. Literally stop. I know we need the money. Stop doing sales appointment. Buckle down. Start producing content. Either you got one of two things, time or money, choose. So either buy it or sit down and write it, talk it, create it, design it, craft it, record it, do anything you can to digitize you. Everyone always wakes up as an entrepreneur as if, you know, if they found more of themselves, then the business would work. Guess what, darlings? We can absolutely make as many copies of ourselves as we want. You're doing it right now. The reason I didn't get on video is because I'm literally laying in my bed watching a tropical storm. I'm out here in Texas. I have my news on right in front of me, and I'm doing a podcast with my morning coffee. And this digital moment will last forever. We can break it. We can take this moment. We can break it down into 30 different segments. We could upload each different segment into YouTube and into your podcasting. We can take each one of those segments, create a segment of content, tie it to a blog post or a sales page. We can add a product to it. We can add a promotion to it. We can add a little button that's a subscription link to it. And congratulations. Woohoo! 1 hour in bed, having a conversation with you. And we just created a new business. That's what we need to concentrate on.
As we start to wrap up, is there a question that you wish more people would ask you?
Can I have three?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so first off, the question every entrepreneur needs to be asking is what's working? Why? Because you need to do more of it. You need to know what that list is. The second question is, what's not working? We need to reallocate it to something that is, or you need to tweak it until it does, but don't just let it sit. And the third question, which I believe is most important for every entrepreneur, is you need to have a what's next mindset. What am I not doing yet that I should do? What's next? You need to ask quarterly. You need to ask semi-annually. You need to ask annually. You need to ask what's next, what's next, what's next, because you're never done. I promise you, you're never done. And the business grows through evolution. Evolution happens from doing what's next, from filling in the pieces. You can't do everything in the 12-step roadmap. All at once. And by the way, you can get that 12-step roadmap by going to 12steproadmap.com, an asset that works while we sleep, right? You can't do everything in there all at once. Pick one thing, do it well, and then say what's next. Then the next one, what's next? And sometimes it might not be what's next. You might just simply go, I want to do more of what's working. Let's double up on the amount of content, or double up on SEO, or these social media posts, or killing it. I've got high engagement ratios. Or, you know what, I'm investing in a pay-per-lead program. Whatever is working, if let me put it like this. If you keep doing the same thing year over year over year, you're not going to get the same results. You're going to get worse results because somebody else is going to be looking at what's working and they're going to do more. What's not working, they're going to reallocate it to something that is, and they're going to be seeing what's next and they're going to be doing more. Well, you're going backwards, they're going forwards. There's no such thing as standing still.
So what's the best way to keep in touch with you on social media?
So you can send a text. Here's an easy one. You can send a text, any text, to 877-839-1122. Send me a note. You can ask a question. You can say, how do I connect? Otherwise, find me online. You can look for jenniferbagley.com. I've got links to my social media sites there, or ciwebgroup.com. I have links to the social sites there. I love social media. It's how we all stay connected. So I'd love to stay in touch with each of you very much. And I appreciate your time today. You are doing an amazing thing, giving a platform to people trying to change lives and change trajectories of businesses. So thank you, sir.
Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Subscription Maker Podcast. This is your host, Zachary Alexander, subscription service designer at subscriptionmaker.net. Please join us next time as we talk about what it takes to be a successful subscription maker.